That's a good prayer. That's the best we've had in a while. So let's go to 44 here. We'll finish up 44 tonight. Honestly, it's a lot of reading. And then I'm going to give you a couple things, though. So we pick up in 14 through 34. You know what's happened if you've been with us. Joseph has not tricked them, but I guess you could say that. And he's going to bring them back. So it says, "What can we say to my Lord?" Judah replied. "What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves. We ourselves are the ones we found to have the cup." Here's what's happened. Excuse me. They're not guilty of doing anything with this cup. For once, they're innocent. But they're guilty of other stuff. They're guilty of, you know, selling their brother off 20 years ago. Here's what we need to understand is we can't run from sin. Now, we might look at somebody and go, "Man, I'm so glad I'm not like him. I'm so glad I'm not arrogant. I'm so glad I'm not proud." But yet we have other sin in our life. So we can't run from sin. And again, it might not be a particular sin, but we all have sins. The Bible says your sin will find you out. And even though it wasn't this particular thing that they had done, their sin had found them out. So Joseph says in verse 17, "But Joseph said, 'Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father in peace.'" Now, they didn't have a problem leaving Joseph 20 years ago, but you're going to see here, they did not abandon Benjamin like they did Joseph, which shows a sign of spiritual growth. Then Judah went up to him and said, now, this is before we go. I'm about to keep going, 18 to 34 here. This is the longest speech in the book of Genesis, individual speech. This is, some scholars say, one of the most moving and poignant speeches in all of the Bible. And it shows the growth of Judah. It shows the growth of these brothers. And it displays his love for them. Displays his love for Benjamin, for Joseph, but especially his father. So let's look at that. "Then Judah went up to him and said, 'Please, my Lord,'" that word Lord is used, I believe, 13 times in this passage, "'let your servant speak a word to my Lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. My Lord asked his servants, "Do you have a father or a brother?" And we answered, "We have an aged father, and there is a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's son left, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself.' And we said to my Lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die.' But you told your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again.' When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my Lord had said. Then our father said, 'Go back and buy a little more food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us will we go. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, "He has surely been torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. If you take this one from me too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in misery. So now, if the boy is not with us," now this is back Judah talking to Joseph, present time, "so now if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, see that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servants guaranteed the boy's safety in my to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave. He's offering to take his place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father." Now, this is what I want you to get, two things, and, you know, because we're not going to spend as much time tonight, is and we'll get to them very quickly. But you see the spiritual maturation of Judah especially, but actually with all of the brothers here, you see the transformation as, for one, and we'll get to it, is that 20 years ago, he wasn't worried about what his father thought. He wasn't worried about what Joseph thought, Jacob thought, when they went back and lied to Jacob about Joseph. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, I can't do this. I can't go back and face him if Benjamin is taken from him. Now, as we look at this, and if you go to 40, and you don't have to flip, I didn't give these to Catfish. If you look at 43:14, when Benjamin, and this is just, I'll give you some quick verses on how we see the transformation of these guys. Benjamin was favored at that feast. There was five times more food for him. And so we start seeing the brothers, maybe their transformation here, that they are growing a little bit because they didn't complain about it. The Bible doesn't give us anything that they said. Now, you know, again, 15, 20 years ago, they probably would have said, wait a minute, why is Benjamin getting five times more than us? But there's no mention of that. Then you go to 44:9, and I'll start reading them. We got time. If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my Lord's slaves. Now here, they trusted each other. Now they were accused of something, and they said, hey, we don't have it. If anybody has it, you know, he can die, and we'll all be your slaves. Now, think about that. If you're around a group who you may not trust, you're not going to utter those words. I have some people in my life, I wouldn't call them close friends, but I wouldn't be able to say that with them in my presence. If somebody says, hey, who's got this going to die? If there's 11 of those type people, I wouldn't say, hey, that's fine, check us all. If any of us has got it, you can kill them, we'll all be your slaves. No, I'd be like, that guy over there's probably got it. So we see some growth there that they actually may start to trust one another. 44:13 says, at this time they tore their clothes, then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Why would they do that? Because they had found the cup. Excuse me, they all went back to the city together. So you could look at that. I mean, there's no reason why some of them couldn't go, no, wait a minute, there's not even all of us going back. I mean, it's only Benjamin. Why don't you take Benjamin, you and him go, and we'll take the grain back. But they all stuck together. Again, a sign of spiritual growth. It goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago in our prayer. When we are a family, which is what we really have to get to, the where we see that, not just here at Danville Baptist, but everywhere, that when we are a church body, we are an organism, we are one family. When one part suffers, we all suffer. We don't say, oh, because you're going through that, let us know what we can do. We can just pray for you. No, we do things with them. When they suffer, we suffer. And so here they could have easily, some of them went back, but they all, I'm sorry, went back home, but they all went with him. 44:14 says, Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground. Now they've humbled themselves. They didn't have to do that. Joseph didn't come in and tell him, you know, you have to bow down. 44:16 says, what can we say to my Lord? Judah replied, what can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. One of the signs of spiritual maturations is understanding that we are all sinners and we're all deserving of God's grace. As Dad has said it 1,000 times, we need to see ourselves as our biggest problem in our own lives. We are our own worst enemies. The sin in our lives is just as great as it is the people we see in other people's lives. And then also in 44:16, it says that we are now my Lord's slaves. That takes a humbling effect to say that, hey, we are your slaves. We will do whatever you want. Again, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, how they're growing in this part. Because if they had this pride welling up, they could very easily, you know, it doesn't matter how powerful Joseph is, they could very easily try to rebuke what he's saying. Then in 44:29-31, we see the concern for their father. It says, if you take this one from him too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave. talking about Joseph or Jacob. He says, so now if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and my father's life is closely bound up with the boy's life. If he sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring his gray head down to the father and into his grave. Now, when we're children, we don't have a lot of concern about what our parents go through. When you're 8, 10, 12 years old, you're not sitting up at night most of the time going, I wonder if mom and dad are struggling financially. You know, they just seem very stressful. You're not thinking about that. Even in our teenage years, we don't put a lot of thought into what our parents, the sacrifices they make. But it's as we grow older, and I've told people this before, it's sometimes a matter of 1 or 2 years. I can remember when I went off to Tuscaloosa to go to Alabama in my first couple years. I was there 3 and a half. My first couple of years, I was just so excited. I couldn't get enough. I didn't want to come home. By year 3 and a half, it was like, hey, I'm just going to go home every weekend. I'm ready to go see my parents. And I've had enough of all this, hanging out with all these other goofy people my age. And then you grow older and older and older, and it's you not only start respecting your parents more, but you start loving your parents more, and you start wanting to spend time with them more. And so 20 years has worked on Judah. 20 years he has seen the agony his father has went through. And that is a part of growth. Now, that doesn't mean everybody goes through that. That is God softening his heart. Non-believers can still have a contempt for their parents, but a child of God will not have that. And then 44:33 says this, now then, this is the biggest one, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. Now he has done the ultimate thing. John 13:34 says this, that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for another human being. That is essentially what Judah is doing at this point. He says, look, let the boy go back, and I'll remain here as your slave. Judah had children. Judah had a wife. But he said, this is more important to let him go back to my father than it is for me. I will give up my freedom. I will give up my life for my younger brother who I am protecting. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Now, as we think about that, if you go to Exodus 32 and we want, Moses did the same thing for the children of Israel. Moses said, look, God, if it takes me being accursed to die for these people to hear your word, then that's for these people to be saved, then that's what I want. Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 9. Paul said, I will be accursed and apart from the gospel so that all of them may be saved. Now, it's hard for us to really have that love that Paul had for people. It's hard for us to say, hey, I'll be accursed. It's one thing to lay it on your life, but that is the love, excuse me, that Paul had for the church there. But here we see Judah willing to basically lay down his life, because we don't know for sure what Joseph will do. Joseph has said he's going to be a slave, but you know, he's at least given up his freedom, and it's that sacrifice. Now, ultimately, this is, as we see, Jesus is going to come from the tribe of Judah. And as we see here, Judah is being a type of Jesus here. He's not lived a Christ-like life. You know, we can go back and read all the things he had done, even with his daughter-in-law and all those things that Judah had done. He's not lived that holy life, but here we see God's working in him, and he says, I will, you can have my life for my brother, and that is the ultimate sacrifice. So we see that transformation in Judah. Now, what do we take from this as we wrap this up? It's very simple that hopefully we can look back in our own life and 20 years ago like this was, that we're not where we were 20 years ago spiritually, that there has been some growth in our life, and it may be in different areas than it was with Judah. But even if we hadn't, what we need to take from this is that we should be growing now. If it's not 20 years ago, if it's 5 years ago, or if it starts tonight, there should be some transformation, metamorphosis, that, if you will, in our own life, and that is by allowing the Spirit of God to work on us in our lives. And we do that, obviously, by spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time with godly people, ministering to other people, all those things that allow God to speak to our heart and carve us into that being more like Jesus Christ. All right, so next week we get, well, not next week, 2 weeks, when we return, we get to 45 and where Joseph makes himself known. This has just been building up. I told you if it had been a TV show, you'd be watching it and yelling at it, going, how can y'all not understand us? Him. And now he's going to reveal himself in 2 weeks, and we'll look at that. All right, let me pray for it, and if you've got any more questions on anything, I'll be glad to entertain those. Father, we do love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it does not return void. And my prayer for all of us tonight is that we grow and become more like you every day. Help us not to be stagnant. Help us to grow in our walk with you like Judah exemplified. And whatever the sin we may have in our life, just point it out to us and help us to get it out of our lives and to focus on you, Lord Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right.